Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we are going to have a show for you.
I like that when you say Cowboy Church, we're going to have a show.
Show, really big show for
really
you.
Really big. But we're here at your ranch.
Mm-hmm. In Southeastern Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is part of what your dad put together on this big ranch. Who would have thought? I mean, if you look out through here, there's two parts grass to three part rock.
Exactly.
So,
my daddy said it always made this country strong. I don't know if it's with the minerals or whatever, but it is our cash crop. We sell rocks off of this land and we sell timber. And the only thing that my daddy wanted to do with this land was to clear it so he could have grass.
Yeah, so it raises cattle.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
exactly.
I've heard ranchers say, I'm not really in the cattle business as much as I am in the process
in the
of raising cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Growing grass.
Growing grass, yeah. That's exactly right. You got to have it. Well, we're glad that you are here with us for Cowboy Church. We enjoy bringing it to you. And so sit back, relax, and rock on, right?
Rock on, yeah. I like that. It says
And here, I like to embarrass him, you know.
Well,
it's like,
here it is. Here it is actually solid rock.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
You would make sure your house is built on solid rock.
Not on sand. Ain't much sand around here.
Yeah.
Let's go to Cowboy Church. We got lots of singing and we got some really, really good speaking. Thank you for being here. I want to tell you and encourage you that no matter who leaves you, who is around you, who forsakes you, that God says He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And I want you to know you are never, ever alone. May the angels protect you, troubles neglect you, and heaven accept you when it's time to go home. When hard times have found you, your fears surround you, wrap my love around you, you're never alone. May your fear filled with gladness, your heart filled with gladness, and everywhere passing, they mean more than gold. When you end but stay humble, smile more than grumble, and know when you stumble, you're never alone. Never. May the angels protect you, troubles neglect you, and heaven accept you when it's time to go home. When hard times have found you, your fears surround you, wrap my love around you, you're never alone. Never alone, never alone. I'll be in every beat of your heart when you face the unknown. Wherever you fly, this is a goodbye. My love will follow you, stay with you, you know. Coming here. Someone has hurt you, but you don't know why. You cover the pain when you put on a smile, but you know the pain is still there. You wonder if there'll ever be a time when you can open your heart and everything's fine, but you won't. You just keep it inside. I may not understand what you've been through, but I know someone who's waiting just for you to just let go. Trust in the maker of your heart. Let it go. Trust that the pieces torn apart can be healed. The longer you hold on, the weaker you become. The healing can only begin when you let it go. Looking back over the life I lived, I can't imagine the peace I missed along the way, all because of my own fear. To just let it go, trust in the maker of your heart. Let it go, trust that the pieces torn apart can be healed. The longer you hold on, oh, the weaker you become. Oh, the healing can only begin when you let it go. When we hold tight to all the pain we know, it's like a knife that cuts and wounds us so. And we don't realize the damage it does, but we can know the peace that only comes when we let it go. Trust in the maker of your heart. Let it go. Trust that the pieces torn apart can be healed. Let it go. Trust in the maker of your heart. Let it go. Trust that the pieces torn apart can be healed. The longer you hold on, oh, the weaker you become. And the healing can only begin when you let it go.
Today, I'm really excited about this because
The message today has to do with perspective. Everything about life, whether it's good or bad, has to do with our perspective on how we see things. You heard the little pessimist and the optimist that got their Christmas toys. Their parents were trying to bring some adjustment. One was just so optimistic about everything, and they wanted him to adjust down a little bit. And one was so pessimistic about everything that he just saw the worst in everything. And the first one is so pessimistic, they gave him just a wonderful present. It was a pony with a saddle and everything that went with it. And he says, oh, it's probably going to die anyway. So he was just so discouraged about it. And they brought the other present in for the guy who's just an optimist. And they just gave him a pile of horse poop. And he said, all right. And he just started digging in the horse poop. And they said, what are you doing? He goes, with this much horse poop, there has to be a pony in there somewhere. It was about their perspective of life. And I feel like then in our life, one of the greatest things that we can do is to begin to understand the perspective that God wants us to have. See, all counseling is about some counselor helping you to see a better perspective so that you can deal with the life that you've been given or created, the life that you've created for yourself. Now, perspective is a huge thing in God's program. In Matthew chapter 5, I love chapter 5 because it starts out with the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, let me just read 5:16. It said, let your light so shine before men that they can glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. So let's pray about that today. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today you would teach us how to let our light shine. Lord, you'd help us to see from the perspective that you have, your perspective, and Lord, that we may just honor that. Lord, help it to be a part of our life and our existence, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So perspective means this. It's a particular attitude or point of view regarding something. It's your viewpoint, your outlook, your angle, your view. But it's not what we see, but it's how we see it. It's our perspective. Sometimes it's our bias that keeps us from seeing truth. Sometimes it's our suspicion that is over fact, more important than fact. And sometimes it's just something that we use to deal with life because life hasn't gone the way it's supposed to. But the Beatitudes start with this: blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus starts right off, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's their perspective on life. See, it's not a bad thing to be poor. It's not a bad thing to be poor in spirit. What's bad is to let being poor destroy your spirit. It's a bad thing to let your circumstances rule your heart and your attitude. He said, overcome that. He said, blessed are they who mourn. And the reason he said that is because people who mourn, they used to have professional mourners. People would come in and spend time with people to mourn with them, to hurt with them, because they loved them. As blessed are those who mourn, they'll give that part of their life to the person who has actually had a tragedy and a loss. And the reason they do that is they're sowing seed into caring for people. And he said, for you'll be comforted. They will be comforted because they mourn and they care for people who are going through difficult times. They're sowing seeds so that when they go through difficult times, they have friends that will comfort them. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, meek, we don't, That's a little, my perspective on that changed because I learned that meek was actually a horseman term. It's called power under control. Power under control. And that was used to describe war horses. It's blessed are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Power under control. Isn't that what people want out of their employees? Meekness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you're hungering, thirsting after righteousness, the Bible says you will be filled. Our perspective, hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you're mercy, if you're merciful, excuse me, if you're merciful, the Bible says you're going to get mercy. If you're pure in heart, the Bible says that you will see God. Be pure in heart. God looks on the heart, and we have to align our heart with God. And when we do, we get to see God. His blessed are the peacemakers. There's a lot of different definitions of that. One is people that actually seek to make peace. They know how to just kind of move through life, and they're peaceful. The other perspective on that is our police officers and our warriors, that they make peace. They keep the peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Persecuted for righteousness, the kingdom of heaven. When people revile you, say all manner of evil against you, rejoice. Why would you rejoice? Because the perspective that Jesus wants you to have is understanding a deeper layer of meaning. It says, rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the earth. Now, it says if you lose your spice, here's something that's always been interesting to me. I know a lot of Christians, they work themselves to being this kind of really nice person, really effective person, and they kind of lose their spice. They lose their zing. They become fuddy-duds. Because they're working, it's kind of what the Pharisees did. You know, they were working so hard to be right, and they're just so concerned about being so right that they just were no fun at all. Jesus is saying, hey, enjoy your life. You're supposed to be the salt of the earth. You're supposed to be the light of the earth. Let your light shine. Let it shine so that people can see your good works. God working in you and you getting to do the things that God allows you to do and glorify the Father which is in heaven. See, what he's talking about is not hiding your light. He's telling you that it's your testimony. It's your testimony. Yeah, see, my testimony is what God has done for me, with me, and through me, not about me, about him. That's the testimony, our perspective. See, I can tell stories to make me look really good. Or I can tell stories, the same stories, that make God look like God. And that my life wouldn't be anything without him. This is what he did for me. It's my story. It's my history. It's my testimony. But it's not about me. It's about him. And when my life becomes about him instead of me, it's so much better. When it becomes the perspective that God wants us to have, switch flips. It completely flips, and it changes everything about the way we have our existence. Jesus was forever turning our preconceived notions or the world's preconceived notions on their ears. The Pharisees had notions that... And then when Jesus came in and broke the notions, set them on their ear, they just couldn't handle it. See, they had notions about the Sabbath. They said him and his disciples picked grain on the Sabbath to eat for the day. And he healed the man that had been sitting near the pool for years. He healed him on the Sabbath. They said, you can't do that on the Sabbath. And their perspective was so narrow because they hated Jesus.
You know, Russ, fathers are so powerful. I'm not sure that people understand how powerful a role a father has in a child, or now take this from me, how powerful a father's role in how a father loves his children, and that in turn loves his wife. The greatest gift in the world is for a father to love his children for his wife.
Well, that's an interesting angle, which would be from a lady. To me, that the thing I've found out and discovered, and somebody told me, it's not an original revelation or anything, but a person's first impulse towards God will be the one that he has towards his father, towards his dad. So as dads, we either have the chance to make it simple for our kids to come to the father, or be in difficult if we're rough and roguey and difficult to live with and treat their mother in a rough way. Fathers, this is a challenge to you today. Be the father that God would be to your kids. Be the husband that God would be to your wife. And you will be developing a legacy that when you're gone, they'll be talking about you the way Susie and I are talking about our dads. It can happen. It may not happen. It may not have happened for you, but it can start with you, and you can begin to make a difference. And let's make a difference, men. Let's make a difference.
How you can make a difference for Cowboy Church is to contribute to our fund. We are solely donor supported, and it is such a blessing to be able to see the names of the people who give each month and to see where the gifts come from. You'd think, oh, they just come from cowboy country. They just come from Oklahoma, Texas, Wyoming, Montana, you know, that part of the country. But I see a lot of donations from the Northeast, from Florida, from wherever. People love God and they're touched by this program. So that if you would like to write us, there's an address on the screen. You can give electronically. Or you know what? If you cannot give a dollar, you can pray for us. And we would really, really appreciate it. And we would love to hear from you how we can pray for you. Thank you for your notes and your cards and letters. God bless you, and we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.